Welcome to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast, presented by 13 Fishing Canada. Make your own luck. We're here to scratch that angling itch and talk everything fishing. Join us as we sit down with special guests from across the industry. Now, here's your hosts, Brandon Cater and Logan Lewis.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in to what is episode 19. This is actually going to be a two-part episode here because we sat down with Josh McFadden from Huntfish Manitoba for pretty well 2 hours. So we decided to kind of split this thing up into two sections. But before we get into that, I'd like to introduce my co-host, Brandon Cater. How are you doing?
Doing good. I mean, this was an exceptional interview. Josh was super easy to talk to. He had so much information to share with everybody that's tuning in, whether that's about, you know, hunting, fishing, media stuff, business, or even cooking. Like, that's one of his things that he's best known for, like on Instagram and stuff, is his cooking abilities and bringing that wild game aspect to dishes. So super excited to get part one and part two out. Super excited.
Yeah, no, I think it's one that a lot of people are going to like to listen to. The first part, we kind of just get to know him a little bit, talk about kind of what he does. And then part two, we kind of get into some questions. But as you'll notice in this part one, there is some tangents. So you never know where the conversation is going to go, especially with someone like Josh, who has so much experience in so many different places. So I think it's definitely one you're going to enjoy. But since our last episode, we've had some things go on that we haven't covered yet. Like, for instance, the vanity. What do you have to say about that, Brandon?
Yeah, the Vanity Cup, one, if not the largest walleye tournament here in Saskatchewan. I was up at Tobin Lake, talked to a lot of guys that fish it, and it was apparently a tough bite. And the guys that ended up winning at Louis Bacopoulos, Bacopala, I don't even know how to say it. I'm sorry, Louis, I just butchered your name. But Louis and Stan Ricci of Regina, Saskatchewan, they took home first place, as well as they, finished first in a couple other tournaments throughout the year. If they weren't first, they were up there in the standings at all the tournaments they participated in. So there's two guys there that are, showing that they're two of the best anglers in Central Canada. So just a huge congratulations to them. And everybody that put on the Vanity Cup, it looked like it was a huge success. And they did a lot of live videos and stuff on Facebook, which was nice for us people that weren't in attendance to stay up to date with. So congratulations to them. And then, of course, Walleye Wars, the last one, the eighth one, I think, of the year across Canada, took place right back here in Saskatchewan for the Fall Brawl, I think they called it. So obviously, lots of big walleye out on the prowl during the fall here. And Colby Padley, he took home first place and second place, technically. So it's a length-based tournament. If you haven't heard of it, or if you haven't tuned into another episode that we talked about, it's all length-based. So Colby took home first and second place, and a huge fish, absolutely huge fish. Yeah. Colby's first place fish was 86.6 centimeters. So I think that's around that, just under 34 inches. I can't do quick math, but 86.6 centimeters first place, and 86 was Colby's second fish to finish second place, which is, remarkable. But another stat that is just mind-boggling is there wasn't a fish under 81 centimeters in the top 10.
Yeah, you know, that's fall for you.
Oh, my God, unbelievable. Like, just the fisheries and the anglers that we have here in the province, that's just proof. The proof's in the pudding right there. Like, I was talking to a gentleman, I think he finished 28th, and he had a couple fish just over 30 inches. And could you imagine catching fish over 30 inches and not even placing in the top 25? Like, it's just remarkable. The fish that were submitted into this tournament were nothing short of amazing. And congratulations to everybody that finished in the top 10.
Yeah, for sure. I think when you mentioned Colby's name there, I don't think he cares if you know how to say it, because he is laughing with what he just raked in there with taking home first and second. And I just wanted to give a quick shout out to my buddy Jordy Giu, who I know he fished hard. He was telling me him and his buddy Sonny were out there, and he said, I'm pretty sure I haven't seen that many big fish ever come in, like, in that, I think it's a 10-day time span, right, for the tournament. And yeah, I think he had a lot verging on that, like, 13, I think maybe in 14 pound area, just because they're all beefed up right now in the fall, right? But he finished, I think he had four places in the top 10. So just wanted to give a shout out to him. I know he works hard at it. He loves his walleye and does his research, and the big thing is he puts in the hours. So very well deserved to everyone that competed in that. Pretty crazy the number of sizable fish that came in as well. But I guess transitioning from that, we should talk about what we did this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't, fish any tournaments or anything this weekend. We had a couple other things going on, as well as, you know, the opportunity to partner up with Joby from Sask Best Boat Rentals. He hooked us up, and we had the pleasure of fishing out of his 2021 Kingfisher. I think it's an 1825 Warrior model, and he's got it rigged up nice with a couple of Helix 7s and Altera, and it's just, it's a beautiful boat. And we had the opportunity to fish in it for 3 days, and the bite was tough, but nonetheless it was just a great experience flying around bodies of water on such a nice boat that he does rent out. So if you're like myself in between boats, or if you're coming out of province and you need a boat, a reliable boat that is ready to fish, definitely check out Sask Best Boat Rentals. I think his website's saskboatrentals.ca. I'll have it in the show notes below, but definitely check him out. He's got this 2021 Kingfisher. He's got a 2022 Kingfisher on order, which is going to be an even more exceptional boat. I think it's going to be a 20-foot boat. He's going to rig that up real nice. It's going to be tournament ready. As well, he has two big pontoon boats that he rents out. So first year for them in business, and it was a successful summer for them. So definitely keep them in mind if you're ever in need of a boat.
Yeah, and you're forgetting to mention your favorite part of the boat. Minor detail, but your favorite part.
The windshield wipers, hands down. Like, it's an option that you look at the boat sitting in a driveway or at a boat launch, and you're just like, why are there wipers on this boat? This is pointless. But honest to God, like, we were ripping down, it was like 50 kilometer hour wind gust the one day when we were out there, and, waves are coming up, splashing the windshield, and yeah, you can see through it, but flip on those windshield wipers and it's like day and night. Like, I don't know. It was an option, Joby said, for last year, and so he put it on. But he said in 2022, I think it's a standard option just because everybody loves it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're getting a 2022 Kingfisher, you're getting windshield wipers, so that's a bonus.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess before we get into this interview here with Josh, gotta for sure mention our sponsors. Very thankful to have all of those that have come on. So I guess coming up first here, we've got Sask Wildlife. It's been a lot of fun kind of doing stuff with them, seeing some of the things that they're coming up with, like the Master Angler program. We actually had James out on the boat for 2 days this weekend, taking some pictures and video and whatnot. So he was actually episode 11, where we talk about the Master Angler program and whatnot. So if you haven't listened to that one, be sure to do that after this episode. But I wanted to make mention of that. And then I guess the next one here, we got Blackfish Gear, which Brandon loves to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely, I do, because I absolutely love their gear. Like, anything from sun protective to rain gear, to me, the soft shell stuff is like second to none. Right now during fall, the soft shell bibs and the pullover gale are two easy choices every single day. Like,
deadly.
Cold, yeah, honest to God, the cold, brisk mornings right now, even into early ice, I'm still going to be wearing that soft shell stuff. That's, late November, early December, before it gets real cold. But yeah, definitely if you're looking for any kind of outdoor apparel, it doesn't even need to be for fishing. It could be for hunting or, stuff around the yard. All the stuff is kind of like water resistant. Go check them out, blackfishgear.com. In the show notes below, you got a 15% discount code exclusive for the podcast. They don't give out discount codes very often. So definitely take advantage of that. Save yourself some money and get yourself some Blackfish gear.
Yeah, for sure. And before we get to the Lucky Bastard ad there, we got to mention our presenting sponsors with 13 Fishing. I was having some fun with their Glidesdale this weekend, a nice glide bait, especially for pike. Had the nicest shine, kind of glow to it, actually, when the sun hit it right. I don't know how many fish followed it up. The water is so clear right now. It's pretty cool watching those big pike.
You had six follows to the boat.
Yeah, and so
I was counting specifically.
How many am I not going to catch?
6 follows, 0 pike.
Yeah, and that's not the bait's fault. It's probably user error. I'll admit it. But no, they were liking the bait. They're just a bit lethargic this weekend with, I think, the water is pretty chilly. I think it was like about 12 degrees and whatnot. But yeah, no, for sure. Be sure to check them out. We're getting into ice fishing season here. I know even before they came on as sponsors of the podcast, when I thought of 13, I instantly thought of ice fishing. That's the majority of my 13 stuff is ice related. So be sure to check that out. Stuff's going to go fast, just like it kind of has through this whole COVID thing. So be sure to do that. But I guess we'll roll this ad here from Lucky Bastard Distillers. And actually wanted to make a quick mention before Brandon pulled up to the launch on Saturday morning. The gentleman at the boat launch at Alice Beach. He might be listening. He might not. I saw him favorite the podcast on his Spotify, I believe. So he saw the hat. I was wearing a Lucky Bastard hat. He said, "Oh, I like their vodka." I said, "Oh, well, actually," kind of explained how we have a discount code and stuff like that for it. So if you're listening, I hope you've ordered yourself some vodka and are enjoying that right now, maybe as you listen to this episode. But we'll roll the ad quick here, and then we'll get right into the interview with Josh.
Get ready to stand on guard for the
Prohibition is over, Saskatchewan. Ask Lucky Bastard today how you can make Canada's ultimate Caesar, True North and Strong. Featuring Lucky Bastard's premium dill pickle vodka, LB's famous bacon rimmer, and bacon bitters. It's not a Caesar if it's not Lucky Bastard. Order online or stop by 814 47th Street East. And tonight, why not mix your Caesar with some Lucky Bastard?
So if that sounds like something that you would enjoy, which I don't know how you wouldn't enjoy it, you can check the show notes below. We'll have a code there. They ship Canada wide. Save yourself some money on the booze. Booze is expensive enough as it is, so why not save some money? Enjoy a great drink while you listen to this part one with Josh McFadden.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. Today, we have another super exciting episode. We have a Canadian boy, Josh McFadden. I believe you're from Manitoba, aren't you?
Yeah, you bet.
There you go. He's not too far away from us Saskatchewan boys. Josh is a adventurer, content creator, chef. What else do you do?
I wear a lot of hats, and I think you covered them mostly there. The only thing that I'll correct you on is that I'm really funny when it comes to titles, and I hate wearing the title chef because I don't feel like, not that I haven't earned the title chef, but I envision a chef as somebody who like leads a kitchen and a crew and does the whole kitchen restaurant lifestyle thing. And I've made a point of avoiding that just because I don't like the whole kitchen restaurant lifestyle. The hours are difficult and it's a job. Yeah. It's a job. And what I do is still a job, but it's kind of at my own leisure and it's different. I get to work with a whole bunch of different people, feed people in random places. Anybody else would say, "Hey, that guy's a chef." But for me, I just have like a weird personal hang up with it. So every time someone calls me a chef, yeah, I'm like, "Oh, I'm just like a cooker guy. I like making food outside." Yeah. And I just make it really awkward.
Outside.
So, yeah. So no one knows what to call me.
Yes, that's the key component, outside. So yeah, Josh, you obviously, I don't know if anybody isn't following Josh on Instagram, definitely go toss him a follow. I think it's Josh McFadden. He posts some unbelievable content. Not only like he obviously cooks, but he takes absolutely fantastic photo, video content and displays that all over his page, as well as a lot of outdoor content throughout Canada and a lot of other adventures. I mean, I think today I seen you posted you're like crawling out of a cave or something.
Yeah, that was a cave in the middle of the bush in British Columbia, and it's pretty cool. It's a little bit of a secret spot, but it's not a tourist attraction, that's for sure. But it's, yeah, really unique.
Yeah, I think one thing when you said to check out his Instagram might not be something that you want to do when you're hungry, because looking at some of those dishes on there, it's like, this is almost torture. You're sitting there like, "Man, I'd love to try that. So it's definitely a good thing to check out, right? But yeah, it's kind of like almost going grocery shopping when you're hungry. not the best idea.
I get the same thing, man. Like when I look at photos that I've taken, I make food that I like to make, right? Like that I would like to eat. So I always see it, and I'm hungry all the time. So like I see it, and I'm like, man, like I could really use that right about now. And the part that nobody gets to see, I've had this conversation a few times, but the part that nobody gets to see behind the scenes is that a lot of the food that I make, if I'm, you know, making it and staging it and making it look all pretty, I'm exhausted by the time I'm done doing all of that. And there's so many things that like I did all day to make this like one little thing come together that I have a couple bites and I'm sort of done. So people ask me often like, hey, do you eat the way that you present on social media all the time at home, like every meal? And the answer is, well, yes. Like I get to look at it, but half the time I'm like, man, like, you know, after a hard day of work, sometimes you're just so exhausted. You don't know if you have a headache or if you're supposed to eat or drink or just go to bed. And I get that. Yep. I get that after making food all of the time. Yeah. Today's one of those days for sure. But it's like, it's so exhausting sometimes that it's like, man, I'm not even sure I want to eat this right now, but it's always great. And it always looks kind of nice, but sometimes it's hard to eat it. So yeah, I get the same feeling looking at my stuff. I feel hungry.
Yeah, I think that's a thing that's important too with lots of your stuff, and we'll get into it later. But I've seen this trend on TikTok where basically the guy's like, is this actually good food or is it just internet food where it looks good, but it's really not practical. It doesn't taste good probably at all. So that's what I like about looking at your stuff, because you can tell like this is different. Like it looks good because of the way you've got it staged and you've got it set up so nicely, but you can just tell looking at it like that thing's gonna taste amazing even if you are exhausted.
Yeah, it's really simple stuff. Like sometimes it takes a long time to whatever make one ingredient that goes into it, but it's all pretty common ingredients that people are used to, aside from the wild game element that is usually incorporated in there somewhere. That's the that's the less common part of it. But it's common for outdoors guys, I guess, but
yeah,
guys and gals. But yeah, it's just different for the different for the regular average eating folk.
Yeah, I think that's one thing I wanted to mention before we really got into the bones of this interview kind of thing, was that's one of the reasons I was really excited when you said you'd come on. I guess then to mention in short notice too, we just messaged you yesterday, I believe, right? So I was very excited because I love to cook. Most of it's just kind of like, I think this would be good with this, but especially I've gotten into hunting in the last, I guess this is my second year now. And I love trying to make other things, like with whether it's deer, goose, duck, grouse, stuff like that, right? So I've watched a lot of your stuff, especially with a lot of the travel or the Hunt Fish Manitoba stuff, and learned a lot there. But that was, I was pumped when you said you'd come on. I was like, this is the kind of stuff I like to do, right? So I just wanted to mention that too. But
That's a cool point. I think what a lot of people miss, I say this often with wild game, is that, you know, somebody gets into hunting, or somebody who's been hunting a long time and they've eaten the game in the same way year after year after year. And you sort of lose the, not only just the creativity, but just the thought that, oh, I can eat this the same way that I eat chicken or beef or pork or really anything else, right? So when you tell somebody that you can make like chicken pot pie, but with a grouse, it's almost like a foreign concept, right? Like, oh, you can put grouse in a chicken pot pie? Well, of course you can. It's bird meat, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can replace really any recipe that's out there at all. Sub beef with deer chunk and you're good to go, right? So I think it's so foreign for some people to think that way, especially hunters who, I mean, for the most part, hunters typically aren't cooks. They know how to throw a burger on the grill and that's kind of the extent of it, traditionally, or how to overcook a slab of something.
Sausage.
Yeah, exactly. Heat up a sausage over a, you know, a big buddy heater in the ice shack kind of thing. And that's sort of the, you know, the cooking skills that, that outdoors folk typically have, but it's changing so much and it's amazing. Like having the opportunity to show people, you know, especially outdoors people, the ability to, or enhance their ability to cook in some sort of way and to try just different things is super cool. And the simplicity of it, like food, eating food doesn't have to be complicated. If you have time to, you know, slap some bologna on a couple pieces of bread with some mustard, you should have the time to make something else up, but it's just a creative idea that's missing there, right? So if you have those tools in your toolbox and you know how to smoke a chunk of venison and it's sitting in the fridge that you can slice into some sandwich meat, like that's the missing component, I think, that exists. But if you can equip people with those tools, man, it's sweet. You can kind of make any food that you want.
Mm-hmm. I think because you bring a unique perspective to it, right? Because with your content creation skills, photo, video, you have a unique way to showcase what you're making. And if we just crank the wheel back a little bit, how did everything come together? Like, obviously you're big into the outdoors. You do a lot of hunting, you do a lot of fishing, you do a lot of stuff with, Hunt Fish Manitoba. Obviously you cook, and then you also do all, photography. How did that all come about? Was it, if you just kind of break it down for us, how you kind of got into the whole media aspect of it? Cause I feel like that's kind of where you really shine, right? Like, you can cook and you can hunt and fish.
Yeah.
But the media aspect of it on social media and stuff is kind of what brings everything together and just displays it in a way that really resonates with people.
Yeah. Like, I think if I didn't have the visual product to go along with, stuff that I do, it'd be really tough to convince people that something tastes good. Like, I see food often, that I know is great food, and I see a bad photo and it just feels like a bit of a flop, or a cell phone photo of a really great dish at a restaurant that I've had and I know is amazing. It's like, it doesn't wet my whistle in the same sort of way. And, I've been cooking ever since I was a teenager and just failing in a lot of different ways in the kitchen. And that's allowed me to find ways to succeed. And I've done the same thing with photography ever since I was a kid. Like, I had a digital camera. I'm 36 now, and I've had a digital camera since I was 17 years old or 18 years old. So that's quite a while ago. And they sucked back then. And I was just taking pictures, I was taking them like they were free, because they were, right? It changed dynamically when that first digital, unit came out, and you could put photos on a card. 16 megabytes, by the way. 16 megabytes was still better than a film camera that could take 12 shots or 24 shots, right? So it changed the
game. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it changed the game dynamically. And I just, again, I didn't... I'm not one of these guys that cares about technical specs on something, or the bows that I shoot. I don't care what the weight or draw or length or stability. I don't care about any of that. I just want to know that I can pick it up and draw it and kill something with it. It's the same way with cooking tools and the tools of the trade, like the computers that I use and the camera and the phone that I have. It's like, I want to know that it's going to serve a purpose, but I don't care about any of the details. I want to know that my fingers can touch and it does the thing that I want it to do.
Yes.
So photography has sort of been in my back pocket all of those years. And I just, found...
All self-taught.
Yeah, self-taught. And I found value in documenting, things that I do. I don't document everything. And I'm way worse at documenting my personal stuff with video than I am with photo. Photos are just quick for me to do, and I take a lot of joy in it. Video is a little bit more of a process, but yeah, I just, that's kind of it, man. Like, I learned that creative side. Like, I've always been a little bit creative, and I fumbled through creative stuff in high school, because you're allowed to be creative in school, but only so creative. And as long as you fit their box, then that's okay. But if you think outside of a box of any sort of system, you get ridiculed for it. And I was beaten up for thinking different, and I have my whole life, right? So I think I highly encourage you, if you think differently, man, I stress strongly.
Kudos,
do something different and be different, yeah. You know, like be as unique as possible. And it's really hard to like see through the smoke with that type of stuff. But especially if you're a sensitive person who internalizes everything like me, like you don't want to let people down or make other people feel bad. But at the same time, you have to, you know, pursue what you know is right. And especially in the creative space. So I'm kind of going on a little bit of a tangent there, but I think that, you know, in the food space, I always wanted to be creative there as well. And when I graduated high school, I think when I was, you know, in the speech or whatever it was when I graduated, I had mentioned that I wanted to be a restaurateur. I wanted to have a restaurant, and I've always had that food bug. But I quickly learned that restaurants aren't for me, because restaurants are a system that you can put in a box, and I don't fit in boxes. So social media is one of the greatest things for people like that, you know, that there's so many successful people on YouTube and on Instagram who show people new ways to cook food and to, you know, be creative. And, they never cooked in a commercial kitchen a day in their life. And they're just home cooks and home chefs who, flex their creativity and either they're unique in their entertainment, or they're unique in the way that they teach people, or unique in the way that they comprise a dish. And I think that that's pretty amazing. So for me, like, I always admire that. And if I can, you know, stretch my creative brain a little bit and make something that tastes and looks unique on a plate, and then I can photograph that and edit it in a unique way, that's kind of a win for me. So anyhow, it's gone on for a long time. I've been doing cooking and things, and with the wild food, I've always eaten game. Like, I grew up hunting and eating different things and not really appreciating the way that I was fed wild food when I was younger. It was good, but it was just not amazing. So I changed the way that I prepared stuff and consumed things. And now I love it, and I just want to share that with other people. I want other people to know, especially in the outdoor space, that your food doesn't need to taste like crap, especially wild game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's...
No, and it's...
you want to go?
Go ahead there.
I was just going to say, I'm sure you've heard this 1,000 times, 1,000 too many times, especially when it comes to game, is, oh, I always heard that tastes like explicit, right, kind of thing. Like, it's... That's something I've heard. Like, I tried crane for the first time this year, and I heard tons of people say it was terrible, and then some people say it was good. And then I think the biggest thing is, like, first time I tried duck, I was like, I don't like this at all. And I cooked it, but then I learned that I way overcooked it. It tasted like crap, and I didn't really prepare it right. The next time I did some, I think it was pan-seared duck with a bit of fat and the skin on the top of the breast, and I was like, this is better than steak. And so I think it's a big thing is, like you're saying, it's how you prepare it and finding different ways to do it, rather than, like Brandon mentioned, like making your deer just into sausage or just into like a burger and stuff like that, like the kind of typical things guys do, right? And then you said, growing up hunting, not really appreciating, I guess, what you had, or not getting to appreciate the flavors that you had because it was probably being cooked that same way that everyone else does it, right?
Yeah, it's a huge method thing. Like, if you know some really simple methods on, you know, when it comes to preparation of food and just cooking methods, you can change the way that everything tastes and the way that you prepare everything. And it's really not that difficult, but most people don't have, like, why would you have those skills, right? If you just lived your normal life and went to, you know, school and junior high and high school and graduated, well, why would you have those skills? Mm-hmm. And, it's pretty normal, but again, we have the luxury of having social media and cell phones, you know, at our disposal at any second, and we can learn how to become an amazing chef while we're using the bathroom, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
I might take that up.
Yeah, use your bathroom breaks learning how to cook food, and you'll be a lot farther ahead.
Instead of looking at fish picks, I'm going to check
out. Yeah, switch it up a little bit, you know, a couple fish picks, a couple food picks, you know, you got to mix it up.
Okay, so while we're on the fish topic, how did you get involved with Hunt Fish Manitoba, you know, doing some, you know, fishing related content with, you know, another big name, Jay Siemens, and moving along with Travel Manitoba. How did you get involved with that?
I'm trying to think like where to start with that. Kind of like anything, you sort of fumble into it, and some, it's a little bit of, you know, a measure of creating opportunities for yourself, and then opportunities kind of falling on your lap. And I was working doing some media and marketing work for a brand, an apparel brand that we had hired Jay to do some stuff back in the day. And I think that was, you know, I'd been watching his videos and stuff and knew that he was a part of Uncut for quite some time and maybe interacted with each other loosely on social media a little bit. But I've always had an attraction to fishing and fishing lifestyle and whatever. So Jay and Aaron were always sort of a part of that. I'm a little older than Jay, but for a while anyhow. So
I would never have guessed.
Yeah. So we started like doing some stuff like here and there together. And then, I had started my own, media and marketing company with some friends and was doing more of the social media stuff on my own, my personal brand stuff at the same time. And just started interacting more with Jay and having some conversations going back and forth. And somewhere in there, I had started an outdoors brand as well. That was media based, like, magazine and, some YouTube content and whatever, some apparel mixed in there too. A lot of people doing that. So there was some sort of, you know, interaction with Jay through that whole time period. And then one day, quite a few years ago now, we just got together, did some fishing, and started talking about doing a brand together, and you know, coming up with a product that he could monetize his audience in a way and sell a product to them, but also just have a brand that was unique on its own too, like not Jay Siemens Fish Batter. It was, you know, Catch and Cook, right? And so we started brainstorming what those things would be and leveraging my skill sets, you know, my ability to make food and take photos of it right now and have it live within 20 minutes is possible. And that is, you know, that's something that's amazing, an amazing asset to have within a business. And I realized that. And I realized that companies that I was doing work with, it's rare to be able to find content for cheap and to find good content for cheap and to be able to turn it out within minutes. Like it's impossible. So since we're both content creators, we thought, man, we could really leverage that, because that's a huge part of, startup for a lot of businesses these days. And just being able to have a little bit of know-how, like building our own website and coming up with some sort of creative. We work with an amazing designer, who happens to be a friend of Jay's from when he was younger, and he helped us with all the Catch and Cook stuff. So just even back then, we started dreaming up ideas and coming up with, well, what's the product? Well, we sort of settled on coding because it seemed like a bland space. You know, like what is every angler, at least in, you know, the Midwest and through Canada, maybe not out in BC, but what does everyone do when they're out fishing with the gang? And a shore lunch was kind of the answer, right? And everybody's engaging with fish coating at some point and stopping at the gas station or stopping at the bait and tackle shop to pick some up. And all the other brands out there are just sort of stagnant. No one's paying attention to them. There's zero marketing going into them. They just sort of sit on the shelf at a lot of different gas stations and grocery stores, but they're not exciting. So we wanted to create a package that people would want to interact with on social media and felt quality, something that was waterproof and just like a hearty, cool package. And we also looked at the coffee industry in a way, because, you know, 10 years ago, there it is, beautiful. Got some right in front of you. That's amazing.
I got a bag right here.
That's so good. And it,
I made sure that I had a bag.
And it probably feels so quality and amazing and supple. But yeah, we looked at the coffee industry. And yeah, years ago, if you remember back in the coffee section at the grocery store, there was like Folgers and Nabob and maybe the Tim Hortons cans, and that was kind of it. And now there's, you know, 60 different options of really cool looking brands and bags at the grocery store of different coffees. And we thought, man, like, what stands out to us? What looks attractive? We both really like Kicking Horse Coffee and their branding and all of that. So we're like, man, a black bag is pretty cool. And we just sort of took from Adam to make Eve kind of thing and came up with this brand. And fortunately enough, the term catch and cook is used all over the internet. It's pretty buzzy on YouTube and in the social media space, the term catch and cook, much like Shore Lunch was back in the day and still is used. I still say Shore Lunch all the time, and you can buy Shore Lunch products. So we sort of, you know, borrowed from all these different ideas and just took something that was dated and put some lipstick on the pig and made it look fresh. Right. And we're having a lot of fun with it. It's going really, really great. We've got some new things coming out. There's some new products coming out. We just launched our knife.
That knife is sick.
we're pretty happy with the knife. Man, it was wild because when we were thinking about a folding, filleting, boning knife, there's nothing out there, which was sort of strange. Like, you can't just go to the store and buy a folding, filleting knife. So we thought it made a lot of sense just to toss, you know, something to have to toss in a tackle box or throw in your backpack. It fits in the pockets of most of my pants that I wear, which I think is amazing. So we're pretty excited about that. And that's, you know, been received really, really well. And we've got another coating product coming out in the next few weeks here, at least for the Christmas season. And that's kind of it. So it's, I don't know what the original question was, and I'm just rambling here, but catch and cook, buy catch and cook.
I originally had asked kind of about Hunt Fish Manitoba and how kind of you got connected.
And then how I got connected with Jay
Siemens. And and then obviously you and Jay made that connections. And for those of you listening that may not know that Josh is half the brains of a company called Catch and Cook, now you know. He basically just gave you a full rundown of exactly how it came to fruition. Catch and Cook, they Josh and partner Jay pulled together. It's a coating for, you know, game coating. I mean, whatever you want to do, use it for your hunting, your fishing. If you want to just make chicken wings with it, I've done that too. But yeah, so he is partner in Catch and Cook coating, and man, it is pretty dang good. I mean, I have the original one. I'm waiting yet to pick up one of the spicy or the flame package, because I'm a spicy guy and I've been waiting. I just haven't pulled the trigger, or when I go into Pokey's Tackle Shop here in Regina, I haven't found it yet. But yeah,
I think Pokey's is getting some product in very soon, actually. So
there you go.
But yeah, we'll have to
Saskatchewan listeners.
We'll have to get some sent out for you fellas. And it's like, it's just a, you know, I'm the recipe guy kind of behind it. Jay's the lover of fried food guy and natural promoter of cool things. And it's it's just a
big
great
deep fry guy.
Yeah, big deep fry man. And it's a great partnership, and we're just having so much fun with it, and it's been received really, really well. So lots of hashtag big things coming down the pipe.
Hashtag big things coming. Don't want to spill too many beans.
Yeah, no, we're not spilling all the beans, but there's some good stuff coming. And the Christmas bundle that we're putting together is going to be pretty sweet. So as soon as that goes live, you're going to want to get your hands on one of those.
Yeah, we'll have to check that out for sure. I was going to say, when you mentioned the knife there, I saw previous guest Zach Brown there. I think he was dealing with a whole moose leg or something like that with that knife. And I was like, man, this thing's made for everything, right?
It's hardy.
Probably cutting up a squirrel to freaking fish for pike.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, he was like, he was petting his cat with it.
Yeah, I saw that. And
he keeps on begging me to rebrand the company Catch and Cook, and just like full caps cats. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not a big cat guy myself. I like cats, but I like them at a distance.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, I'm looking at the bag right now, and it's all caps.
You'd have to make lowercase caps.
Yeah, you'd have to make this. Yeah, lowercase little c in there.
Maybe next April Fools will have to come up with a cat version and put cats all over the bag and kind of do a little shout out on social media for it. But I didn't want to miss.
Yeah, or
go ahead.
Or just fill a bag with cat litter. And
that's actually a very great idea. He might get a little special gift in the mail soon here.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I didn't want to miss the Travel Manitoba part of it or the Hunt Fish MB part of the conversation as well. And that's just been a real great experience for me too. Like making connections there. It's again, one of those things like finding opportunities and having opportunities fall on your lap. And I've just made some really good friends that are, you know, that work there, and that's kind of like the rest is history. Just when you can find good people to be friends with and work with at the same time, it just seems like a cool kind of natural fit. And yeah, pretty fortunate to be able to work with those fellas over there.
Yeah, I think I just started talking to, well, so little context to this. I think my second ever fishing trip to Manitoba at the start of August, I believe. We went up to Clearwater, and did some lakes around there. And I had a story up asking about some other lakes, because as I'm sure you know, Clearwater doesn't take much to get too wavy out there. So I think we were there for a week and we only got a day and a half out on Clearwater.
Wow.
But I put up a story and I had this guy respond, and I was going to ask you how you pronounce his name, because I watched Jay's new lake trout video today. At the start of it, he called him Kevin, and halfway through, he called him Kevin. And then on his Instagram, it looks like it's Kevin. Which one is it?
It's Kevin.
Okay. That's what I thought.
It's 100%
it's Kevin.
So many people ask me how Kevin's doing, and I just naturally start telling them that Kevin's doing okay. It's Kevin, but everybody gets it wrong.
Okay.
But once you get to know him, he's for sure a Kevin, even though I don't know what a Kevin is.
Yeah.
He's the only Kevin I think on the planet, and he's definitely a Kevin.
Yeah, for sure.
And he likes elk.
Yes. Yeah, he's an elk fella. He's so fortunate to have elk property, and a lot of it. To hunt in the family and whatnot, and it's pretty unbelievable. I've had a few seasons now bear hunting with him, and we hunt in his elk woods, his sacred elk woods, and there have been a few times where we've seen elk. We saw moose this spring up there, and endless amounts of bears, and it's just it's really a little piece of heaven up there. So he's got it pretty dialed.
Yeah. So I figured I'd ask that instead of just asking him. I'm actually currently talking to him right now on Instagram, but instead of just asking him, I thought, why not ask him on the podcast? And so everyone.
Yeah, his real human name is Kevin, and his parents gave him that name. So
that sounds good. But I thought this would be a good one to kind of give him a shout out on, because he replied to my story, and I didn't realize that he was kind of had a lot to do with the Hunt Fish Manitoba at that time. And he replied with his personal page there. And told us some lakes. The one lake between three of us, we had 170 smallies in one day. So I had to give him a shout out there, because he was huge in hooking us up with some places that
That's
we should
great.
Try out. So
yeah, he knows it all.
Yeah,
it's so refreshing to you when you have guys like that are, you know, open to connecting with somebody they don't know, or you know, helping out a fellow angler and share some spots, or you know, somebody that's never been there before and they, you know, just help them out to, you know, make sure they have a good experience. Like, I feel like that's kind of rare in modern day, and it's refreshing to hear that, you know, there's still people out there helping, you know, other people in going to new lakes and stuff like that.
But, it comes down to the approach I find in those situations, because if you went out and asked some guy for his fishing spots, you're not getting any sort of, you know, reasonably friendly response. However, if you approach it in the right way and you don't act like an arrogant jerk, mm-hmm. and you don't, you know, seem like the type of person who's going to exploit all of these you know, amazing spots, then you can get a lot of favor from people, and it's pretty amazing. You know, it's there's some folks out there who will approach it from a different angle, and they won't get a lot of favor. And I think it's just tact. And I've had a lot of really good fortune, and have gotten to know a lot of amazing people in the outdoor space who will, you know, sort of point you in the right direction and help you out. But you have to know, as an outdoors person, that there is a massive margin of learning for yourself. And in the foraging space, for me, I love sharing foraging knowledge with people, because there's free food all over the ground everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of learning, right? So much like a fishing situation, if you go out on a day and you get skunked, which happens, it's not a bad day of fishing. It's a good day of learning, you know, and which is what fishing is. You know, you can't catch fish every time, and you can't shoot a deer every single time you go deer hunting. It's just not reasonable to think that way. And it's much like that in the foraging space. You know, people get frustrated because they couldn't find what they were looking for. They didn't find the exact one that they wanted. And it's not as simple as hide and seek. It's a lifelong commitment to a hobby and to being a hunter gatherer. You know, like, if you want to add more tools to your toolbox in that outdoor space, the anthem of the weekend warrior is learn and educate yourself, and, you know, just be patient, right? Like, it's a massive patience game.
Preach.
It took me so many years to learn one mushroom, because I didn't, my dad was like a forager and stuff like that a little bit growing up, and he had some knowledge, but mushrooms weren't really one of the big ones. And I couldn't get any information out of anybody. I would squeeze people, and nobody wanted to share their spots, essentially, right? And giving somebody the opportunity to learn about a new mushroom is kind of sacrificing some of your B and C and D spots, at least. And, you know, I got nothing. So I bought all of the mushroom encyclopedias and books and Bibles that I could, learned kind of from memory of when I would go hiking, finding things on the floor of the forest and remembering, oh, this looked like this, it smelt like that. Investigating all of the elements that a mushroom has or a wild plant has, and just sort of kept on. You know, 1 year I'd maybe learn one thing, and then another year I'd learn another thing after hiking for days and days and days on end, finding nothing and coming up dry. And then you start to get smarter. And you know, without having that passed on to you, it's actually pretty tough. You know, I take hunting and fishing for granted all of the time, where, like, the wind's different than you were expecting, and the fish aren't here and they aren't there, and you're just kind of mad at nature. But the reality is, you know, it's half of it's you, because you weren't there yesterday and the day before and the day before observing nature to learn where things go when you've had wind doing something in a strange way, or the moon cycles, or the weather, or whatever it might be, right? So there's so much to be learned. And it's man, when I was a kid, I had no idea how the wind could have even played a factor in fishing. It didn't even make any sense to me. And after spending years and years and years fishing shorelines on one of the biggest lakes in the world, that's, you know, somewhat out my back door, I finally started to understand, oh, the wind changes the fish's eating habits and where they eat and the location of their forage. And I never really understood it before. Like, how does wind affect fishing? Well, it affects it in a massive way, aside from just being too choppy to take the boat out. It was my opportunity to learn that, right? And if I didn't, well, hey, kind of my fault, you know? So,
well, you'd still be learning that.
I'd still be learning.
Which is great. You're always continuing to learn, right? Like, my biggest thing is, like, you go out and if I don't have a good day on the water,
weekend,
just for reference, Sunday, Logan,
yeah, 4 days ago, exactly.
You know, yeah. I mean, right? If you're not catching, you're learning, and it's a process that's never gonna end. And I think that's the beauty of it, right? Because I mean, if there's nothing to learn, it would get boring.
Be fun at all.
If you can go out and catch, you can go out and catch, you know, 10 pounders at the exact same spot on the exact same tactic at the exact same time, what fun is that, right? So
yeah, I think it gets
that's
boring.
The unique perspective that a lot of people kind of just take for granted, that you know, once you learn something, that you just, you're going to be able to do it. But no, it's just an ongoing process.
Well, it's funny too, like I've had those days where you go to the right lake at the right time and you're catching walleye after walleye after walleye, or bass after bass, or perch after perch, or whatever it might be, and you get tired of it. Like when it's that easy, like, man, like you're 100 fish in,
yeah.
I don't even want to catch another one, right? So it's right. Funny how quickly that does change. Yeah, you fish for the good days, and I always say that, like, you fish through all the bad days, like 30 in a row, so that you have one good one, and those are the days that make fishing worth it. And it's, you know, just like hunting, the days that suck and you're stuck out in 2-degree weather with sleet falling down and your hands are frozen and animals are just nowhere to be around, you hunt through those days, knowing that nothing's going to happen because it's all going to come together at some point, and it'll make those days worth it, because you have to earn those days. You can't just walk out and get a big buck day one. It happens, but you didn't earn it.
Yeah, exactly.
100%. Yeah, you can't just expect. And that's with anything too, right? That's, you know, hunting, fishing, but that's also, you know, the multiple businesses that you have, right? You can't just go out there and expect Catch and Cook to blow up into what it is without putting in the work, right? And you guys obviously have put in a lot of time and effort into this company. You've put a lot of time and effort into, you know, the media and you know, the cooking and everything like that. And, you know, you are where you are because, you know, you put in those days.
Yeah, right? For sure. And not to discourage people from anything, you know, like it's just a commitment. If Jay and I hadn't pulled the trigger on making steps along the way to get Catch and Cook started, it wouldn't be a thing, right? So same thing with like having a successful fish or a successful hunt. You have to take those steps. And it's fun. It's just all a part of the process. If you want the end goal, you have to pursue the steps from one to end goal and everything in between. Yeah. And that's just so key. So, you know, like getting anything started, for sure it's work, but it's all sort of in stride and it's a part of the process.
Right. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I've learned personally over the last couple of years, just with a couple different like avenues that I've gone down. And maybe a lot of people that are listening have a bunch of ideas, or even you talking about, you know, being in school and, you know, having the creative mind and telling people if you have these creative thoughts to, you know, go after it type thing. And it's a lot of it's just getting out of your comfort zone and taking that first step toward whatever it is that's in your mind. It's not going to happen if you don't take action toward it. It's always just going to be a thought.
Yeah.
Or it's always just going to be, you know what I mean? So that's, I think, one of the biggest things that I'm taking away from this conversation with you is a lot of stuff that you've done. It's been self-taught and, you know, has come to what it is because you've gotten uncomfortable, thought out of the box, stepped out of the box, and just made it happen day after day. Grinded, just like hunting, right?
Yeah.
Or fishing. And, you know, you've caught that trophy fish, or you've now got a company that's, you know, on its way to becoming something amazing. I mean, it already is amazing.
And the biggest takeaway there for me, like over the past number of years, and the biggest asset is kind of falling in love with failing, because you can't get to, yes, you can't get to an end goal without failing a bunch of times and sucking at stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of really great ideas out there, and pursuing them may not get you to that goal, but sucking really bad through the beginning stages will get you there, you know, and being okay with that, knowing that, man, you know, you have to account for screw ups and failures and accidents and mistakes and stuff like that. And, there's a lot of that, and having the mindset to just not even, it's not even overcoming, it's just not even thinking about them, you know, like hopping over those hurdles real quick and moving on to the next thing. It's a huge asset in being able to do anything. And, you know, even just the theme of your guys' podcast, man, it's sweet. You know, like most people are, they fit into that category of being the weekend warrior and, you know, like working hard through the week, working the day job, working that 9 to 5, like most people do. And, you know, having your eye on the weekend, like that's the North American anthem, you know, and being able to do that, in a way that doesn't, you know, you can't screw up too bad during the week so that you're exhausted and can't have any fun on the weekend, or you've worked yourself too hard. Like, keep your eye on the prize, and that leisure time is so important for people, especially for guys, you know, like for mental well-being and all of that. Guys are really hard on themselves when they go to work and, you know, overwork themselves and put a lot of time into things, and not allowing themselves or ourselves to, you know, take that time to sort of reflect and relax and think about how you can shift things around to make things easier on yourself. That's a really tough thing for a lot of people and a lot of guys out there. And I think, just having that mindset that, you know, failure is cool. It's okay. It's okay to suck. And it just gives you an opportunity to make some changes. So if you're not making those changes, you should probably start thinking about it. Making change is great, and you have to just sort of adapt and learn that that's just very, very much a part of the process.
Yeah, I think that's something that me and Brandon could probably talk about this for a long time, because on top of enjoying, I guess, the outdoors and fishing and whatnot, we're kind of both interested in the business side of things as well, right? Like, that's something that is another one of our hobbies, or I guess if you want to call that a hobby kind of thing, right? It is kind of seeing what you can kind of grind out and what you can do on the side, and use that day job as like your security kind of thing, and then work on bettering yourself or some projects you have. And like, we, even with the podcast, I don't know how long Brandon had thought about doing one before we started, but I had thought for a while, I was kind of working on like some of my own stuff, and then like we've talked about on here before, we got to talking and we were like, oh, we both want to do it. And then like, I remember trying to record that first episode. It's like, this is so out of our comfort zone, it seemed like it was.
I can imagine. Yeah.
So yeah, trying to do that.
Dude, we had no idea what we were doing, right? I mean, it was still like, it was just a thought, and it was just a thought though, right? Like, I mean, but we didn't know anybody would listen. We didn't know, you know, it would be, we didn't know we were going to be talking to you or Gord Pizer or, you know, a lot of these guys that have experiences and stories and knowledge to share with people that, I mean, you guys are already doing that on social media, but audio just brings a completely different perspective and an environment like so, where it's just us three conversing and talking about, you know, stuff that probably will never, I would never reach out to you over direct message or comment on your posts, you know, about half the stuff that we talked about today.
Well, it's some people do. It's a
unique perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so well.
It's amazing what people reach out for. And like, I embrace all of it, you know, like if somebody wants to reach out, like I love that. And it's so funny when sometimes folks will approach those DM conversations like, oh, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, I know you're busy. It's like, well, I'm on my phone, so I can't be too busy. And I'm checking Instagram. So like, I'm either going to bed or I'm taking a bathroom break or whatever it is. Right. So it's like, you know, like if I have a minute, man, I love chit chatting with people and getting to know folks.
If you're taking a bathroom break, you're looking at recipes, I think.
Well, I said mix it up though a little bit, right? So I'll go from I'll keep swiping in between recipe videos and Instagram just to get back to the fans, you know.
There you go. Okay. And I think that's the thing, right?
But
lots of people will.
I actually,
you go, Brandon.
No, you go ahead. This is not important.
Oh, come on. Anything you say is important. I just had a quick comment on the fact that basically lots of people, like you said, are like, oh, sorry for reaching out. But lots of these, like lots of the people we've talked to have always said like, yeah, reach out. I'm sure, like, don't get mad if you message like someone who has like a, a lot going on, right? And they don't answer maybe in a day or two, they'll usually eventually get back to you. You have to also understand that lots of times, like, I know Facebook can be bad for it on a page, is they sometimes don't even see the message because either one, they don't get a notification, or it's stuck in like a request folder, which you get no notification.
Yeah, it gets buried.
Yeah. But lots of people will respond
Yeah, for sure. It's pretty interesting. Like, you can DM and text a lot of people, and all I'm getting at is, like, sometimes people ask some really random, strange questions, and it's like, who the heck is this person reaching out, right? Or, for the most part, it's just great, and, like, I love it. I was honestly toying with starting some sort of service, like, ask a cook person a question for, like, 5 minutes, get them on the line kind of thing, because there's so many people who question or who ask me, you know, like, hey, I'm throwing a steak on the fire tonight, and what do I do, right? Mm-hmm. So there's this, like, super quick little interaction and this, like, fast little tutorial. And at the end of the day, I want to know how that steak turns out. So I'm always saying, like, send me pictures. And honestly, sometimes people don't, and I get kind of upset because I really do want to see, like, how that thing turned out that they made that I – you know, somewhat facilitated and gave them some
tips. You pretty much cooked.
I basically cooked it, yeah. And it's sort of like, oh man, I created this little baby and you know, threw it out into the ocean and it never came back. Like, well, what the heck is, what's going on here?
Take it personally. So,
I do, yeah, I honestly do. And it's all fine, but yeah, it's like, man, I'd be pretty busy if I was answering, you know, DMs and questions all day, but I really do enjoy it. And I honestly think there's a service for that. Like, if I could call a plumber right now, if my pipe started leaking and I could call a plumber and figure out a way to, like, just pick his brain for 5-10 minutes and then run to Home Depot and fix it myself, it's kind of a handy service, you know?
Yeah.
So if I could get, like, a wild cook on the line.
We'll talk after this.
Yeah. Well, here we go. Yeah, exactly. I need a plumber, an electrician. I'm a pretty handy person. But when it comes to some of these things, mechanic, you know, like, I can dig around under a hood, but sometimes I just have some questions, you know, so maybe we can trade some services back and forth and start a little online collective of call a mechanic or a cook person.
There you go.
Do a little horse trading. That's the way to go about it. But I don't know. I was just sitting here staring at this bag of catch and cook that's sitting on
here
my
desk.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help but notice it says chef and guide approved, but you said you don't call yourself a chef.
I know. This was one of those moments, man, where you sort of start to look at the list of terms for somebody who cooks stuff.
Yeah.
And you could say cook approved, but then there'd be a lot of cook
there
on the package because it's catch and cook. So we decided to go with chef because that sort of resonates with most people. And every once in a while, I'll take one for the team, you know?
You're going to put, like, cooker guy or something?
I'm a pretty selfless guy. Yeah, I mean, cooker guy would be amazing. If I had more content out there that referred to me as a cooker guy, that's what I would have put on there.
It's got to start somewhere.
So when people are looking for you on Instagram, it's at cooker guy?
Yeah, McFad's cooker guy, yeah. Hey, if there's no cooker guy account, I better book that real quick here because
I'm gonna create an account and I'll sell it to you.
That sounds totally fair. You know what? Just run it. It's easier that way. Just run it and link everything back to me.
Just rip content off the original page.
Yeah, just copy and paste and link it back to Josh McFadden. We'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, that that was totally like a huge tangent there, but I think it was an important one and an entertaining one. I guess I had
rails.
not a bad thing for the podcast, right? You never know where it's gonna go. That's why I like these conversations so much. One thing, I do have to come clean now that we're an hour into this. I do have to come clean that I have not tried catch and cook yet. It was sold out everywhere. You couldn't get it anywhere. It'd be like someone would say, like,
that's
we'll
the
say
right answer.
Pokies for thank you. Pokies for example.
You know what, Logan? At least you're honest.
I'm an honest guy.
There's a lot of people probably wouldn't admit that. So, I mean,
yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah. I'm totally okay with that. Nobody likes a liar.
No. And the honest.
Well, Josh, Josh can't punch you through the screen either.
True. So, yeah, it's a good thing we're doing this virtually. No, the honest reason for it is a good one, that it was sold out so much. Right. Like, I know supply already has been an issue with COVID, but that's not even it. There's just so much demand for it, right?
Yeah, and
we're
stocked up.
You just do a really good job of marketing it.
Yeah.
Well, there's that, and it's we're stocked up really good now. You know, like, it's really hard to estimate when you're starting something up, especially a food product. Like, I've never sold a packaged food product before, and Jay obviously hasn't either. And you just have no idea. Like, we're stocking up right now, getting product sent to us for the Manitoba or Winnipeg Ice Show, whatever it's called, Manitoba or Winnipeg Ice Show,
yeah,
which is going to be a pretty big deal. We're getting the Frostbite boys down there, and Alex and so Aaron are showing there? Up. Oh, yeah, I'll be there slinging some bags of Catch and Cook, and I'm going to take a pretty casual casual position there because we're selling with the Frostbite fellas, and they're going to sort of take care of all that stuff. So I'm going to be there to shake hands and kiss babies and maybe have a beverage or two if they have a little beverage zone. I would hope so. But yeah, I think it'll just be pretty fantastic. There's going to be some good people there, and so we're bringing stuff in for the show, and how do you even start to estimate what to bring in, right? Like, how many knives do you
correct
bring to the show? How many bags of flame and original and spices and all of these things? So it's a little tricky, but we should have some pretty sweet deals going on, and enough product for.
When is the show?
It is November 6th and 7th, so it's coming up in like a couple weeks here. Yeah, so big. Perfect. That'll be pretty big. Yeah, biggest thing to hit the ice fishing scene in Manitoba since COVID.
There you go. Do the weekend wires make up?
I'm saying it now.
That's a statement.
Bold statement. So bold. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, but honest, God, I think, well, because last year the show was canceled, correct? Or was that 2 years?
Yeah, it's been a while that people haven't been able to do anything. So, yeah, it's kind of nice to have a show.
There you have it. Another super exciting episode of the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. Josh is just a remarkable guy to talk to about, you know, hunting, fishing, media. If you're into the whole camera content creation, videography, or cooking, which most people that are fishing or hunting are going to be cooking up their game. So definitely go give Josh a follow on social media. All of his handles will be in the show notes below. He posts some unbelievable stuff. Definitely do not look at his page if you are hungry, because you'll regret it. But yeah, part one of an interview. Stay tuned for part two. We have to give a shout out again to 13 Fishing Canada for being our presenting sponsor. There is a 15% discount code in the show notes below. It's just Weekend Warriors, WKND Warriors, and save yourself 15% off if you're going to be, you know, going to stock up on some rods, reels, whatever, what have you for the ice fishing season. It's right around the corner. Go make sure that you're prepared.
Thanks for tuning in to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your favorite listening platform so we can reach more anglers just like you. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for media updates and behind-the-scenes content.